Hey, you're listening to Smartless. It's hosted by Jason Bateman, myself, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett. Every episode, we bring on a guest that the other two don't know about it, and it's kind of a surprise. And, Will?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Are you okay? I'm just explaining what the show is.
No, I know. I didn't want to interrupt. I'm just over here. I'm staying in my lane.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, you can chime in if you want.
No, you had it. I feel like...
Do you have anything to add?
No, I think you covered it all, and I just felt, to be honest, I just felt kind of useless. You're doing the intro, and I'm just sitting here like a chump.
Well, you can say something if you want, but I feel like I got it all in.
Okay. It's Smartless, and it's super fun. Here we go.
Smart.
You can't go to Europe.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. You want to chew it, swallow it.
I'm saying,
you know, you're working right now. Do you chew while you're acting? This is serious.
Just the scenery.
What is it today? What's the carbohydrate today?
You know, it might be less annoying than whatever you're eating now. It's just eating a banana and just making that sound that everybody loves. That kind of sound.
Should I do that?
Try it.
No, what do you have going today?
Today I was just having the end of a little bit of a cookie.
Oh, bless. Did you earn it?
Oh my God, I did a huge workout and a hike and everything. Yeah,
what did you blast today? Was it tries or buys? Or
do me quads? A favor, don't say blast.
Yeah, well, isn't that what you always say?
It's so gross.
Oh, I just blasted my quads.
just blasted my...
God,
that's such a gross word.
Oh. I had my trainer come over and blast my quads.
And listener, he's wearing a white, really stretched out Nehru T-shirt today.
It's not like a Nehru, it's a Henley.
Same thing.
It almost looks like you're trying to make us believe that your muscles are breaking through the shirt when really that shirt would fit fine if it was the normal size.
This is an extra large baby size. So this is for us, for like a really large baby.
Or a baby that just got his cookie because he was good today.
Baby did get his cookie.
Listen, fellas.
Yeah.
Today we're gonna make a real dent in our smartlessness. Okay? Today we have a scientist.
Ooh, I love it already.
This is a PhD. He is the co-founder of several biotechnology companies. He's an inventor of 35 patents. He is a co-director at the Harvard Medical School, and he has been named one of Time Magazine's 100 most influential people. He is also a three-time runner-up of People Magazine's Sexiest Man of the Year. I'm not sure if that's...
Wow.
We're going to have to ask him about that. Sean, Will, and listener, this is Dr. David Sinclair. Doctor?
Ooh.
Wow.
Now, Dr. look. Now, that's a sexy
David
man right
Sinclair.
There.
Sexy, right?
Yeah. So, not true, right? Three-time runner-up to the... Did I just add that?
It was only two. It wasn't three. That's an exaggeration.
Just a two-time runner-up.
It was four.
Right.
God, a quick shot of you with that beard on. I bet you're going to win it this year.
It's nice.
David, thank you very, very much for joining us. Now, guys, I will tell you, I had the pleasure of listening to David speak at a small, casual lecture-ish thingy. And
at someone's house?
At someone's house. Yeah. And... it really knocked
God,
me out.
Hollywood does it right, don't they? They just bring people in.
No,
they're
listen.
Like, you know what? Bring somebody smart over here and let them talk to us.
Clap,
right,
clap.
David? Basically, I know.
They couldn't get anyone else, so I was invited.
I know how it works.
And he said some things that really straightened me out as far as my my knowledge of general health and mortality. He's a specialist in aging, and I'm going to let him talk to you about some of the things that really knocked me out. I'm going to tee you up here, David. There is, and please tell me how dumb I am and how much I did not remember.
All of us or just him?
No, just David.
Okay.
The qualified folks.
Okay.
basically, the gist I got, and then I'd love to hear all the specifics again, is that while there is a definite that we're all going to die, science and technology has now sort of given us an opportunity to have a little bit more to say about how we die, when we die, the way in which the end of our life can be enjoyed. Now, those are all my dumb words, but is that generally what you guys are focused on a lot? And hopefully you'll give us some tips on how to improve that part of our life today.
Yeah, sure. I think you guys all know I'm 106, so.
106. Yeah. Listener, if you could see this guy, he doesn't look a day over 30, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay you to say that. That's very kind of you. But we're exactly the same age, Jason.
We are, aren't we? I think I remember that from that day. Isn't that shocking? I've always thought that I looked fairly young for my age at 51.
Did you?
David, I mean, come on. The guy.
You always thought that?
I have always thought that. I haven't asked anybody to confirm that. But when I look at myself every morning, noon, and night, I'm like, oh, look at you. But David doesn't look older than 35, does he?
Yeah. Why do you look? Your skin is incredible, actually.
Well, there's this thing on this software we're using. It's called the filter. It works really well. You guys should use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. First of all, you know that you and Jason are the same age. I don't know. Maybe you've already Googled us, but you have to guess my age and also Sean's age.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
Serious?
Come on. Yeah.
Well, here, we'll qualify. I want you to guess her age and then tell us how old they actually look. I want you to guess it and then tell us what they actually look like. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm going to regret this so badly.
Stop making faces, Will. Just look normal.
No, and don't be nice. Like, if you think we're older or whatever you want to do, just really guess.
Well, you know, I have the advantage. I've been watching all of you for a number of years, so I kind of know when you popped onto the scene.
Only a couple of years for me because I just got started.
Yeah, that's true. I would have said 26 for Will.
Sure.
I think we're all pretty similar in age. I don't know. I think maybe, Sean, you're a bit younger, but
yeah, probably
other than that, the rest of us have been around for a while.
Yeah, by a decade.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You got
truly.
Skin.
You're 41, Sean.
I'm 41.
Bullshit.
I also am a half a century old.
50.
Wow.
Thanks, you guys.
Well, so listen. So we're all okay.
I just turned 50.
Oh, you did? Well.
Yeah, yeah.
But David, in 40 years, we'll probably be not shocked if we die. But based on your research and on what you can perhaps share with us today, we can make that decade more enjoyable and perhaps not our last decade. Is this maybe accurate? How will we go about doing that?
Yeah. So we're kind of at the level of the Wright brothers. It's 1902. We're figuring out how to glide. But we do know it's possible to fly. So we've got my colleagues and I. There are about 100 leaders in the world doing this. We call it aging research or longevity research. It's now a fact that modern science has caught up with aging. For a while, we ignored it. We thought it was natural, acceptable. That's BS. It's definitely not acceptable. It's the greatest cause of pain and suffering on the planet. And if you think heart disease, cancer, and Alzheimer's are bad, what do you think causes those, right? Young people don't get those diseases. It's 1,000 times aging and, you know, one time or 20 times these other drivers of these diseases. So my point is, if we can understand what causes aging, slow it, and even reverse it, and we'll get to that, then these diseases either don't happen or you can take them away. And what I was telling you, Jason, which I can now tell everybody who's listening, is my field and my lab at Harvard spent about 20 years figuring out what are the genes that control the aging process. And we've been very successful. We have a handful of genes that seem to regulate all life forms on Earth, from trees to worms to even humans. And I could read your genes and tell you what the chances are of you living a long time. But now, actually, that there's some new stuff which is blowing my mind. And, you know, my mind takes a lot to be blown because I've seen pretty much everything happen. But what I didn't realize is that aging isn't just slowable, it's actually reversible. And we can do this in mice very easily. We can reverse the age of the eye in a mouse and make them see again, these old mice. We can make them run 150%, 200% on a treadmill after just a few weeks of treating. Wow. And so these are the Wright brothers' days, right? Imagine in 20, 30 years, we could have intercontinental air travel, eventually go to the moon.
Do you think that you guys could, in a lab, maybe regrow Sean's sense of humor? Like, would that be possible?
No. Yeah, like, how would that
find atrophied and gone?
Are you still, like, working on that?
It is true, though, that you are able to change the, instead of the gray hair on mice, now they no longer have gray hair. Is that, that's not true, is it?
Uh-huh. Well, some people have done that. That is true. You can now reverse gray hair. Actually, there's a drug on the market for cancer that these patients suddenly, I think it was 11 out of 13 patients got their hair back again, the color.
Oh, Sean.
Will just perked up.
Wait. What's it called? Yeah. What's it called? Who's got a pen? Got a pen.
You need to get cancer first.
Wait a minute. I this is fascinating to me.
Right. Because, like, think about it. Like, no, you can't catch cancer or leukemia or... So, in other words, it's all that stuff is in us. And there right. are things that you can do in your life that are not good things that actually turn those little toggle switches on. And now all of a sudden you are on your way to getting cancer or leukemia or diabetes or any of these other things. Speak a little bit about that because that really resonated with me, David.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what really is driving all of these diseases is that our bodies become lackadaisical and unable to fight these diseases. When we're young, if a cancer cell pops up, our bodies destroy it. Or if there's misfolded proteins for Alzheimer's, our bodies destroy it. But we lose that ability to defend ourselves against diseases. And most people don't get that. They think diseases are inevitable. But no, if you can stay young, physically young, you don't get them. And what we've figured out is only part of it is genetic. I know I said the genes are important, but actually only 20% of our longevity and our health in old age is from our parents. The rest is how we live our life. Wow. What we eat, when we eat, mm-hmm. how much we eat.
So 80%, as far as like nature versus nurture, it is nurture, basically. 80% of how you live will dictate how you die, as opposed to hereditary.
And we know that because there are these twins in Denmark that lived very different lives. And
well, you know them, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Sorry, David.
Well, we know that. Only part of it is genetic because these twins in Denmark, if they lead very different lives, they have very different lifespans.
Got it. So basically, one of the things I remember you saying was that it was sort of very common for us to kind of die at 50, maybe 100 years ago or further. Like nowadays, you die around 80, 90, 100, whatever. You were saying maybe in like 20 or 30 years, people will look back at this time and say, boy, it's so weird that everybody was okay with dying at 80. We're now living to be 120 because of, not just what David Sinclair taught us and uncovered, but this whole sort of world of technology and science, what you guys are uncovering, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. And multiple technologies are advancing. So we've got some of my technology, which reverses the age of cells. We've got these wearables that are getting better and better. There are blood tests that we can do. I could take your blood, you guys, and tell you.
So wait, what's a wearable? I know what an edible is. What's a wearable?
You just get stoned from certain attire.
It's a sporty bracelet.
Wow. It's just like THC-based clothing.
Yeah.
It had to come. It had to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's a wearable, David?
Well, it's one of those watches that'll monitor your heartbeat, and they're getting better and better. They can tell you your blood sugar. I'm wearing a ring that tells me how well I slept and what else I got up to last night.
I just found out about that, and I was thinking I might get one because I was doing the thing. I was wearing the Whoop, the sleep band. I was wearing that, and I was wearing the Apple Watch. And I'd wake up in the morning. This is true. And I'd wake up in the morning, and I'd look at how I slept, how many times I woke up and stuff, because I'm a big sleep guy.
Right.
I go to bed very early and I wake up early, but I believe in getting a lot of sleep.
Very unemployed.
Very unemployed.
Sleep will make you live longer, that's for sure.
It definitely will, right?
Yeah.
So sleep is really good. So, I mean, this is great for all the people who go to Jason's movies and watch his shows because they get a lot of sleep.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Little naps here and there.
What sure. a service you're doing.
Sometimes it's 30 minutes. Sometimes it's an hour. Sometimes it's an hour and a half. Full-length movie, whatever you need. I got all.
You just put it on and walk away.
Uh-huh.
Look at you.
And that's the prescription from David.
Give him back.
But listen, David, everybody's interested in reversing the aging process. I mean, it's a topic that I'm sure nobody's not interested in. So tell us about exactly unless I'm jumping way far ahead, can you tell us like what those are and what exactly, how does that work? And is it all food-based? Like, is it only have to do with what we eat or, and what can we do on our own?
Yeah, there's a lot you can actually do. This isn't rocket science. It's actually, it's going to be easier to cure aging than cancer. In your daily life, what the kind of things that I do are eat less often, get your heart rate up for at least 10 minutes every day or so. Basically do what Will did today is a good start.
There you go.
And the kind of foods, a lot of people argue, is it meat, is it not meat? But essentially, you don't want to overload your body with protein. Having some times when you're lower on protein, so plant-based, Mediterranean, that's also very good. And we, as a group of scientists, people have been saying, oh, eat olive oil, eat all these plant-based foods, exercise. And nobody really understood until recently why that's good for you. Mm-hmm. It turns out these genes that we've discovered that control our longevity and make our bodies fight aging and disease are triggered by these lifestyles. So we can turn on our body's defenses. It's called hormesis. Hormesis means what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And really, it's putting your body into a state of defensive mode. Because if we just eat stuff and we're sitting around and we just watch Jason's movies, our bodies go get tired and they don't react to the onslaught, which we're facing every day with chemicals and DNA damage. And so we have ways to trigger those by being hungry sometimes. I'll tell you specifics in a second, but also what's interesting is we've now found certain chemicals that also mimic diet and exercise and give you the benefits or enhance a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, because everybody's looking for a quick fix pill, anything so they don't have to, exercise or do the things you're saying. They can't eat anything they want.
Yeah, do you have the I just worked out for an hour pill?
Yeah.
We do. Yeah. Well, we don't know if they work in humans, but in mice, I can take an old mouse and make it a marathon runner.
I'll take it.
How about I just blasted my quads capsule?
Yeah. You might grow some whiskers, but other than that, you'll be really healthy.
Super young thighs on Will.
So how do you find out if you have these, genes that like the
respond
the,
to it?
Yeah.
Well, have you guys done your genomes yet?
No.
What has done your genomes? So there are companies, right? There's a famous one, 23andMe. There are others. Ancestry will do it. And they tell you what variations. So we all pretty much have the same genes. The four of us are men. So we pretty much have the same genes. But the variations on those genes and how they're controlled depends on how we live, but also what we were born with. But we can read what we got from our parents very easily. I could take your DNA and in my lab tomorrow tell you what your genome is. It used to be $1 billion. Now it's about $100.
Wow.
So there are genes. So there's one called FOXO3. Which it's throughout the animal kingdom. We've got it in worms, where it was first discovered, but it's also in whales that can live 300 years. And in our bodies, there are certain variants that are known to be in people that live over 100. And you can just read it. So for instance, we all have two copies of each gene, and I've got one longevity version and one regular version. And I have three kids with my wife, and all three of our kids got two of the best copies. So even if they don't live very well, they have a better chance of making it to 95.
Wow.
In all seriousness, so I have a lot of longevity in my family. My great-grandmother died at 105.
Right.
Three of my grandparents died at 97. two of them at 97, one at 95, I guess.
Oh, we're just going to cut part of this.
And so I guess I'm saying, is there a medal for that? Like, where do I line up
not at
for,
all.
For like a, I don't know, a trophy or something? I feel like
it's not a contest.
So my point is—
And it usually skips a generation.
I used to always— Jason's people all died in boats hauling up nets in the Mediterranean, and they all died at like 42, okay? So, but with like a jug of wine broken at their feet. So my question is, I always joke that people say, why do you smoke cigarettes? And I go, yeah, sometimes I smoke. I said, I have to, because I have to offset because of the advances in medical science. I know that they're going to make everybody live for so long. And I go, I can't keep this going forever.
No.
This looks too good. So I need to offset it
it's
little.
It's unfair to other dudes.
It's unfair because I feel like I'm going to live to be about 130, legit.
No. We can only hope.
And David, can I come over and will you draw some of my blood?
Sure.
He cracked himself up on that, David.
We can do that.
Sorry, my question, my real question was, does that make a difference? All the different sides of my family with all this longevity, does that make a difference at all?
Yeah,
and can you change that as well?
Well, it's difficult to change it, but we're getting better at going in and changing genes using technologies like CRISPR. But yeah, the genes are important, but remember only 20%. So Will, I'm afraid you're probably not going to make it that long unless you live a healthy lifestyle too. And we know that people who smoke, not occasionally, but a lot, have accelerated biological age, which we can measure now.
Yeah.
So it might be balancing out. We'll see. We can test it.
Okay, good.
And you said depending on, what is that word you used, that we have the technology, and you, what was it called?
CRISPR.
What's CRISPR?
So CRISPR is about 10 years ago, scientists discovered that you can go in and actually change an exact part of a cell's DNA with an enzyme. And it's being used right now to fix genetic diseases in the eye and restore vision. And eventually, pretty much every disease that's genetic can be fixed.
Wow. That's crazy. What about diabetes?
Hang on a second. What?
Yeah, what about diabetes?
Potentially.
But what if, like, Will's got, you know, humorously small feet. So if he wanted to go from a size 5 up
someone
to, like, a men's
elfin.
Size of, like...
Someone say elfin.
To change his foot size from a 5 to a 9, could he go into, like, a crisping tub or something? Or crisping?
A crisping tub.
I eat plenty of Krispy Kreme.
Is there a tub of Crispo that I could go into?
Like fries. Once the fries are done, could he put his feet in there?
Yeah, I think there's a gene.
Jason hasn't been able to feel anything below his navel for about 14 years. So is there any way that we could revive him, so to speak?
When the onion rings are done. No, sorry, David.
The ultimate age reversal, I'd say.
Yeah. Sean.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You know what? I've been having, well, I guess I didn't really.
So you weren't really interested in how I was doing because you just wanted to talk.
I wasn't really interested in how you were doing. I wanted to talk about how I was doing.
That's okay. Sure. Go ahead.
But I just felt like because of social convention, I'm like, how are you? But I don't.
Right. Totally. I get it.
Full disclosure.
The worst three words you could ask me. Don't. Go ahead.
Yeah. I've had a few back issues the last couple of weeks. It's just been a little bit out.
From golfing.
And I've been using, you know what's been helpful? CBDMD.
It's the best.
It's so good.
Whether you're, you know, tired from traveling, a stressed out parent, you know, you're working out again for the first time in months like you, or sleep is crucial to getting the most out of every day, our friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep like you used to.
Yeah, I want to kind of get back to something you said, which is that if I'm just working out again for the first time in months, because I take issue with that. Because I feel like you're not recognizing how hard I've been working in the months prior.
No, I have. I'm just saying good for you, I guess, is read between the lines. I just said good for you.
It doesn't feel that way. It feels like a backhanded...
Not at all. CBD PM soft gels contain the same award-winning formula as CBD PM, giving you all the CBD, melatonin, and chamomile you're used to in a powerful pre-measured soft gel capsule.
These soft gels are a quick and convenient way to get the deeper sleep you deserve.
And let me tell you something. Whenever I take it, it works like a charm. Every single time I sleep like a baby, I wake up energized. It really, really makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And to make it even easier to relax, regroup, and unwind, they're offering all SmartLess listeners 25% off your next purchase when you use the code SmartLess at checkout.
So once again, that's CBD.
You can pick it up a little bit.
MD.com. Promo code SmartLess for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products. Sean, you know, this is just like a little voiceover guy trick.
Yeah.
When you have to say like hard like P's and stuff like that.
Right, you step
just
away.
Just brush off the mic a little bit.
Yeah, am I doing it a lot today?
No, but a couple times, but nothing that we can't clean up, you know, and Rob and Ben and I will get in there. We'll have to clean it all up and re-EQ.
So you stay and fix that, Will?
I'm just here to clean your peas, bro.
Okay, great. Hey, guys, if you're having trouble meeting your goals or difficulty with relationships or trouble sleeping or you're feeling stressed or depressed, don't worry. BetterHelp is available. BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and help.
All you do is simply fill out a questionnaire to assess your needs, and BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
You can start communicating in under 48 hours.
It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is secure online professional counseling.
BetterHelp counselors have a broad range of expertise which may not otherwise be available in your area.
Yeah, and the service is available for clients worldwide.
You can
can log into your account anytime and send unlimited messages to your counselor.
You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, and everything you share is confidential.
You won't ever have to sit in an awkward waiting room again.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if needed.
It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available.
In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and SmartLess listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/smartless.
Visit betterhelp.com/smartless and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. And now, back to the show.
What could one do to turn on these beneficial parts of our sort of our stock system here to fight the stuff that shortens our life?
Well, it's much easier changing a life than changing your genes. And remember, 80%. Mm-hmm. So it's very doable. So what do? I try to skip at least one meal a day. Feel a little bit hungry, but not too bad. Just have a cup of tea. I work out 4 times a week. So I'm trying to keep my muscles going and flexible. And then I try to keep my heart running. So every other day I'll get my heart rate up. And I try to focus on plant-based foods, though I do like a good burger occasionally. But all of that is good. And then I take a few of the molecules that my lab has worked on as well.
Because I remember what you were saying. You alluded to it a few minutes ago, which is if you can trip your system into a defensive
hormesis. Yeah.
Right. Where, and it's triggered sometimes by hunger, not starvation, but hunger, where the body thinks, uh-oh, I might be starting to starve here. It kind of clicks into this mode that is the molecules, the energy, the proteins, whatever it is, you'll tell us, that actually start to fight the bad stuff, the cancer, the diabetes, the leukemia, whatever it may be. We kind of activate that army and it comes out into our system while we are a little bit hungry. And that sort of speaks to kind of microfasting.
Yes. Intermittent fasting works. Try to be hungry for, you can do a 16 versus 8 hours. So you can be hungry for 16 hours. And
I'll eat dinner at 7 at night and I won't eat until the next day at about noon or 1.
Perfect.
That's kind of perfect, right?
Yeah, that's what I do. That's a good way to do it. I'm not sure, drinking whiskey late at night is very good for you, but that's what
I do. I have a whiskey drip. I'm sorry, I left that part out. I have a whiskey drip while
I'm
sleeping.
Let him finish, David.
Yeah.
Jason's gone as long as 45 minutes without food. Would that be considered good? Like a good run?
But it is true. If you don't eat from like 6 p.m., to like noon the next day, if you can honestly go those 18 hours every single day, you're getting yourself into a state where you're not only you're getting gorgeously lean, all right, let's be clear, but you are killing the things that could kill you. You are killing the things that could kill you. So you're going to be gorgeous, but for a very long time. Yes?
In principle, yeah. That's the way to do it. And it's not that hard. If you're really starving, you're not doing intermittent fasting correctly. You get used to it after about a week or two anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm not very good at it. I can only go for 1 or 2 meals. Some people
look
go
at
for
you.
A whole week.
Look at you, though. You're being very humble. Look at you. Look 12.
It is remarkable how young you look. I will say that. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm not talking to you, Sean.
No, it is. I'm complimenting myself. So,
Sean's looking at a long, full-length mirror right now.
I bring a hand mirror with me wherever I go. But let me ask you something. So I've never met you. I'm already unbelievably fascinated by everything. But for an idiot like myself, so you are a doctor who specializes in anti-aging philosophy, science, techniques, whatever this. And Jason mentioned when he was introducing you that you have 35 patents. Like, in what? And what are they and what are they used for? Because
you know the George Foreman grill? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah. Oh,
no
shit,
way.
That's yours?
Yeah.
That's yours?
Just the tilt part on it.
Cha-ching.
Just the part that
just drips off. It drips off. And
so without that, you're going to eat all that fat. But what David did was he put it on an angle. It goes into a tray.
It goes into a tray and it drips right off. It's unbelievable. And you'll live longer.
Well, I don't need to watch the YouTube video for it.
The tray used to be flat. I fixed that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing. Patent number one.
No, but tell me about, like, because I'm an idiot. So far, intermittent fasting, check. Got that. What else can we do? And what are your patents for?
Well, the exercise is real. Olive oil is good. Resveratrol in red wine is one of the molecules we worked on. So red wine in moderate doses is good.
What are moderate doses?
One glass or two.
Because I need to tell my sponsor. I'm going to tell my sponsor. I've been sober a number of years. But if it's coming from a doctor, I'm just going to say, look, I hate to go over your head on this one, but I want to kind of live a little longer. And I know that you guys frown on the drinking in AA.
But yeah, does resveratrol live in anything else other than red wine?
Not really. Not in any amounts.
Capsule?
Sure, you can buy it pure. Yeah, I stick some of that in my yogurt.
You can buy it pure.
Yeah, it's available. Get it from a reputable supplier. Make sure it's a white or gray powder, not brown. That means it's bad.
Not out of the back of a van.
No.
You don't recommend out of the back of a van.
So yeah. Are you recommending everybody go get their genes tested for $100 or whatever you said, and then from that, it's determined what you should avoid, what you should increase or decrease, and that's your base, and then kind of restructure your life according to those results?
Yes, absolutely. That's the way to do it. And it's called optimization. So take me, for example. I've looked at my genome. I've talked to colleagues. What should I do? I eat this. I should do that. I went from a blood test that said I was 58, and I was actually 48 at the time. Changed my life, changed my lifestyle, lost a bit of weight, the right things. And then that blood test, you know, it's a bit of alchemy, but it's still somewhat interesting to do. It came back and I was 31.4.
Wow.
So I think there is a lot you can do very quickly within a matter of months to bring your health way back in terms of health and longevity, I believe. You want to hear about the patents?
Yes, I want to hear about the patents. And I also want to hear about diabetes because my husband has diabetes.
You know that they took a little bit of brain matter from Jason. They said they had the brain of a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Did you know about this? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I got the youth going to the wrong part of it, but I've repointed
real young
stuff. Yeah.
The brain power.
I'm trying to age my brain now. Yeah.
David's writing stuff down. He wrote that down. That's how important that information was.
It's all for the deposition, Will.
Oh, look at that. Three.
There's something that I want to tell you. Because we think we figured out how to reverse the age of cells, and we've done this, as I said, for the eye of old mice.
Yeah,
and hopefully in 2 years, we'll have tried this in people with glaucoma, pressure in the eye. We're also now doing an experiment to reverse the age of an old brain. So mice get old after about 2 years, and they forget things, typical like a human would at about age 85. Now we're going to test what happens when you turn the age of the brain back to being young again, maybe not to 3, but let's say to the equivalent of a 20-year-old. Do you lose your memories or do you regain lost memories? And we'll know that pretty soon.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I don't know. With all your signs, I don't know if you're going to be able to go back and fix this old soul.
Oh, this God. Old soul.
Enlightenment stays intact, Will. Rest assured.
Old,
David, what is the breakthrough that you are most excited to see if you happen to live long enough to experience? The things that you were exposed to, like, you know, is it living on the moon or is it probably in your field, I'll bet you.
Yeah, it's probably not living on the moon.
Well, you know, I'm trying to. I don't know how old our listener is.
our listener never gets old.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm doing my life's passion. I don't want to do anything else with my life. I would have left a long time ago if I did want to do something else. So I'm trying to figure out how to reset the body and make it healthy again. And I think we've cracked something here. The fact that we can not just make cells behave like they're young, but actually be young again, reset it. I'm basically back to, you know, 20-year-old from an 80-year-old in a mouse.
Is that because you can start a process somewhere in a cellular area of the body and that it will sort of, for lack of probably an accurate term, metastasize across the body and make the rest of the body as young as that one spot? Because it strikes me as like you can't just treat one cell and make that good. They all have to become younger again. Right. And is it sort of self-perpetuate?
Well, we don't know the answer.
In much the same way that it does on the aging side, right? Like all the cells kind of age and make one another age, I suppose.
Well, there are certain cells that communicate to other cells. So if you change the age of the brain, it looks like the brain can tell the rest of the body to be young again. But I think we're probably going to have to reprogram most of the tissues separately. And we're working on that. What we do is we introduce three very early genes, meaning these are genes that we only have on when we're a fertilized egg and developing in the womb. And they stay off when we become adults. But we find that if we turn these three genes on in a mouse that's old, it resets the clock. It resets the genome so that that the cell reads it again. But it's, of course, not one cell. We're resetting tens of thousands and eventually billions of cells in the body. But it's a true reset. This isn't just, oh, I'll do a bit of exercise and I'll get a little bit healthy. This would be...
Right. It's not conditioning it.
Yeah. Well, we built the system so that when these genes get introduced, they're permanent and we can turn them on just by taking an antibiotic. Doxycycline, for example, you might use that for Lyme disease or something. It's very safe. And so what we do with these mice is we genetically modify their eyes. We can damage their eyes or let them get old. And then we just give them a course of 3 weeks of antibiotics and they get their eyesight back. Imagine that in a human. You re-engineer your body. So you have these three youthful genes. And every time you want to fix your body or reset your age, you just take a course of antibiotics for 3 weeks.
Jesus Christ.
Would it be similar to how some species can shed skin? And so the old skin goes off and a new skin is right underneath it and it has pushed the old stuff out and it replaces it sort of seamlessly?
Yeah, you're onto something. What we think is, so there are species that we know can regenerate. So you cut off a lizard's tail, it grows back. What else? You can cut off the finger of a mouse, it actually can grow back.
Starfish,
a lot of species regrow. Even a jellyfish, you can take a piece of a jellyfish and it can grow a whole new adult. And we can also clone things. We can clone people probably, but we haven't had permission. But you can clone dogs.
Do you think someone's done it? Is there a fair chance that somebody's done it?
I don't think so.
No?
Well, the reason I think not, because if that person was crazy enough to do it, they'd be crazy enough to have a press conference as well.
Right.
Do know somebody who cloned their dog. That was wild.
Really?
They did successfully cloned it.
Yeah, I saw it.
Well, you know, my question is this. So you're doing this. This is incredible stuff. And of course, this is like, this is going to shift the conversation of our entire existence, right? And this is getting down to, this is it. This is the most existential, right? So first of all, you must have, I've spent a bit of time around because of what we do. I've spent some time around some people who are crazy rich, who have all the resources. And the one thing they always talk about, because it's the one thing they can't control, is their health and their and getting older. Like, it makes them fucking crazy because they've got everything else. They've got billions of dollars. You can only fly so many private jets around the world and have so many yachts. But they're like, fuck. The one thing that they want to have more than anything is youth. And they hang around with younger people because they're like vampires, et cetera, et cetera. You must have all these incredible billionaires, these one percenters, banging down your door. Do you not?
Yeah, saying, hurry up.
Can you say?
I want elasticity on my skin again.
Yeah.
I know a fair number of people.
Yeah, I bet.
Put it that way.
I bet. Yeah. Also, can I jump line in front of them, A? Because I'm a cool guy. They're all so fucking boring, and I'm a lot more fun to hang out with, I guarantee you. And I'm not going to name names on the air. Yeah.
Can you put some jet hours on the?
No. I can't add jet hours, but I will say this. I can add a lot of laughs, and that plane, it sucks if you're not having a laugh, A. And B, let me have it before Bateman. Because I want to start getting young. I'm not saying he doesn't get to have any of the magic pills. I want him to have it. But let me have it like a week before.
What is your ultimate dream for the human race? Like, what do you wish there was a pill that everybody could take? I mean, we've been told it's all about diet and exercise our whole lives. And of course, that's the answer for everything. And everybody knows that answer. It's just up to you whether you implement that or not into your life. But to you, what is the ultimate goal?
It's to have a pill or a combination of pills that truly resets the age of the body. And I know we've been working on this as species for the last probably half a million years. But nobody's had this technology. No one's been able to take a blind mouse and reset the age of the eye and make it see again. So that's why I say it's like the Wright brothers. Right? The Wright brothers, everyone said, come on, you can't fly. Humans were never meant to fly. But they did it, and suddenly the world changed. And I truly believe that we're at that point now with aging.
Right, right. And has anybody ever discussed with you about the population control thing? About, like, I imagine if you're in the business of prolonging people's lives, I'm sure there are people not loving that because you say the world is already overpopulated, and why are we trying to interrupt nature's course of resetting itself?
And there's a great deal of money to be made on people that are not in good health.
Hmm. This comes up a lot. And I've written about it. There are two sides to it. Yeah, there are certain people who will live longer that we probably don't want to live longer. That's one of the downsides. But there's also, you look at history. I like to look at history and project, use it to predict the future. You know, when people were dying in their 40s and 50s and women would die in childbirth, the world had a lot fewer people. But was that a better world? And I'm of the belief that humans can innovate their way around anything. And actually, if you do the math, if we were to stop everybody dying right now, the planet wouldn't get hugely overpopulated, not very quickly anyway. And in Europe and increasingly in the US, we're actually slowing down our population growth to the point of being negative. And so it'll be replacement. We'll probably top out at about 11 billion on the planet. And then we'll be hopefully steady state with people living 110, 120, eventually longer than that.
When do you think that'll be, that people will commonly live past 100?
Well, so my colleagues often don't like it when I say these things because they want it all to be based in fact, whereas I'm trying to predict the future. It's always dangerous. I would say within our lifetime, there will be medicines available to slow aging and some that will reverse it.
But the question also becomes, great, so you live to be 103, but what is your life like? What is your body like?
Yeah, the quality of life in that last decade.
Well, this is the key. This is the key question. And what we know from these animal studies, whether they're in, I've mentioned mice, but a lot of people have done monkey studies, dog studies, and even studies with pills in humans. We know that these interventions, we call them, that slow down aging, they slow down aging in the whole body. So it's not like a heart medicine that just keeps your heart healthy, but your brain gets old. It's very different. So what you get are these animals that live a lot better and healthier, they're vibrant, and then they die much quicker. Look at humans that live over 100. They cost about a third of the healthcare costs of someone who gets sick before 100. So it's also a huge cost saving as well. And these people are productive, helping with grandkids, going back to work. It's a huge boon to the economy as well.
Right.
And so, but that's interesting. You say that people actually, you might live longer, but your period of death is sort of truncated, right? So you have you don't die in some protracted, miserable sort of, these machines are keeping you alive. And
yeah, we call that modern medicine, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's what we've been trained to do, which is treat one disease at a time, push the patient out the door. If they come back with something else, treat that and repeat until failure. And that's not the way to do it.
It's money.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, also I always hear about Alzheimer's, diabetes, you know, heart conditions, you know, I always hear about, you know, they're 3 to 5 years away. They're 3 to 5 years away of getting a vaccine or a cure or something, some kind of something. And I never see any results of those. You know, it's just an ongoing thing. It's very frustrating. Obviously, it's all financially based. And if we cure something, then there's no money in it anymore. But what do you say to that? Because my mom died from Alzheimer's. My husband has diabetes. Like, I know all of these people who have all these issues that we just keep hearing good news is on the horizon and we never get it.
Well, we do get it, but it's usually small increments. There's never, oh, suddenly we can cure Alzheimer's. That doesn't happen. And the problem really is that it's easy to say it's in 5 years, but because now I've lived it, I've started a number of biotech companies. It's way harder than most people think. It's at least 10 years from start to finish and about $1 billion, which is very hard, of course.
To do a trial, to do a series of trials.
Yeah, to get a drug on the market. And most drugs fail, you know, 90% of them fail. So it's easy to say. 5 years, yeah. It's much harder to do. But if you look at the long arc of history, we are making progress. People are not suffering like they did even, you know, 10 years ago, especially in the cancer field, huge breakthroughs there. But for aging, not so much. Though, Sean, I want to quickly tell you about the diabetes area. Yeah. There are some really good diabetes drugs. I think we have a much better handle on that disease, type 2 diabetes, not so much 1. Is that what you're referring to?
Type 1,
the age associated? Oh, type 1. Yeah, that one's harder.
Yeah,
that's not easy because there's all sorts of cells you have to replace.
But didn't they have a big breakthrough in type 1 diabetes about 5-10 years ago?
Well, the stem cell replacement seems to be going well. Yeah. But that's really hard.
Is stem cell similar to CRISPR? Is that the same thing?
Well, it can be together. You can go in and change the cells in your body, or you can take your stem cells out, fix those, and put them back in. And that's actually done. So, for instance, sickle cell anemia has been cured now by taking out the blood stem cells and fixing those and putting them back in.
Wow.
Will.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about businesses and stuff.
Thank God.
No, it's exciting.
No, I'm happy because you said I want to talk to you, and I just thought, here we go. Sean found out. But you obviously haven't found out yet. So go. Yeah, I'd love to talk to you about
This is not that. This is something completely different and
good.
Super exciting.
Thank God.
Yeah. I want to talk about businesses have had to be flexible this past year from, you know, working remotely to pivoting to long-term survival and growth and all that. And I know like in like the theater world and Broadway and performing arts, companies are streaming stage shows now, musicals and all that kind of stuff. You know, you can buy tickets and everything, and all kinds of businesses are doing a bunch of different things to adhere to these new kind of guidelines of how we
Well, and
do
they're
it.
Also, they have to change the way to do business. You know, I was just thinking, because like, you know, you've got major clothing companies that are producing N95 masks and hospital gowns and beverage companies are started producing hand sanitizer.
So if you're in charge, like for hiring your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you have to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place that you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier, ZipRecruiter.com/smartless.
Well, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent to over 100 top job boards with one click.
And then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites these people to apply.
You know what, Sean? It kind of occurs to me, it's like, taking all that into account, it's kind of no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Like, that adds up now.
It does. And don't take our word for it. See for yourself. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/smartless. That's ZipRecruiter.com/smartless.
I'm going to level with our listener.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this. Let ZipRecruiter take finding qualified candidates off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. So just go to ZipRecruiter.com/smartless.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Oh, Sean.
Oh, William.
I'm laughing.
Why?
I feel so great.
Why?
Guess.
Why?
Guess.
I'm going to guess it's how you slept on your Helix mattress. Is that correct?
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now?
No. Did I read your mind?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Do you know why I can read minds? Because I also slept great.
You did?
Yeah.
And then you feel clearer.
I feel clearer that I can read into your mind because
That's
I had a great
crazy.
Night's sleep on a Helix mattress.
Yeah, man. I feel so good because... Yeah, that Helix mattress that I got, and I don't know, I was saying the other day, what, it's like 6 months or so that I've been sleeping on this thing?
Yeah.
It's changed my life.
It's the best sleep ever.
Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and your sleep preference to the perfect mattress for you. So why would you buy a mattress made for someone else? That's crazy. That doesn't make sense, Sean.
No,
with Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be perfect for the way you sleep.
Everybody's unique, and Helix knows that. So they have several different mattress models to choose from. It's less like Goldilocks. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. And even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-size sleepers. They really do have something for every human.
We all took the Helix quiz, and Sean, if you remember, we got three different mattresses.
Because we're not the same person. We're three different people.
That's right.
We've had our mattresses for months now.
I use it to sleep. I use it to lounge on when I'm watching stuff.
Oh, he's
TV.
Making a list, folks. He's making a list.
I use it when I'm rolling calls. Uh-huh.
Sure.
And I use it also.
Yep.
Well, let's just skip that one.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. So, look, if you're looking for a mattress, you take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't even need to go to a mattress store again.
It was sex, Sean. By the way, I know we skipped it, but it was sex.
There you go.
Just go to HelixSleep.com/smartless. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life.
They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will.
Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listener at helixsleep.com/smartless.
That's helixsleep.com/smartless for up to $200 off and 2 free pillows.
Pillows.
And back to the show.
Let me ask you something that might be outside of your specialty. It's just something I've always been fascinated by, and maybe you can tell me something if you know about it, is the actual science of the brain that I'm sure is sending out all these messages to these cells about how to age and how not to age and whatnot. Do some of the limitations come in progress from still not truly understanding how the brain works and what the brain does as far as sending out messages like what is the equation of a thought, literally how one gets an idea, and like how do you, like what does that look like? That's not zeros and ones, and it's not proteins. It's like does it live in that? Are we any closer to figuring out how the brain actually creates thinking and what that looks like from a an equation standpoint?
We are actually. There are some people who are able to model the brain. And the problem has been reductionist attitudes until recently, meaning you go into the brain, you put a neuron in the dish, and you look at how the neuron works. That's great, but because you've got, you know, a trillion cells in your brain, there's emergent properties, as they say. So one nerve is not going to be a brain, two nerves isn't going to be a brain, but a trillion will be. So what people are discovering actually is similar to a computer. If you look at a one transistor, it's not going to tell you how a computer works, but you have to look at the whole thing. Same with the brain. And there's a guy called Henry Markram, who's a really controversial figure in Europe, but he managed to model a mouse brain, and now he's done a human brain. And he did it because, you know, typical neural nets are looking at binary, basically computer code. He said, let's get away from binary, which is, you know, how big companies like Facebook and Google do it. And he said, let's figure out how to model a nerve cell and then put a trillion of those together. Because nerve cells, they work rather than just on and off like a computer. It's more like a record player or a cassette tape. They have what's called analog information. Long story short, when he built this brain in the computer, it behaved in ways that he could never have predicted, with waves of thought going through the system.
Wow. So
I think we're getting close, but you need the trillions upon trillions of little individual machines put together to make that happen.
Wow. So we're all going to be cyborgs in about 2,000 years.
Well, yes, but I don't believe that you can download your brain easily. That to me is much harder than solving aging.
Yes, right. All right.
Do you ever see a day when, you know, this kind of theory has been tossed around in science fiction, where at a very young age you can download information into the human brain so that a whole set of encyclopedias or all of Google into your brain? So
like
you
in the Matrix when he learned how to fly the helicopter?
Well, not so much that.
Is that what you mean?
Not so much that. But so that just...
Do you mean about flying helicopters?
Do you mean about flying helicopters?
Do you mean about I go to sleep
can
and I...
Can you download
I go to sleep and I wake up and I know how to speak French?
Carrie Ann Moss in the Matrix?
If I wake up, I'm Carrie...
flying the helicopter.
Now I look like Carrie Ann Moss in the morning?
Now everybody's going to be a bunch of Carrie Ann Mosses wearing tight leather. Sean, what are you getting at?
David, can that work?
Do you know that Sean, if you open up a cross-section of Sean's brain, it just it's like a mouse on a treadmill and the Benny Hill theme song playing.
No, that's why I'm exhausted all the time.
David, how did you get attracted to studying about aging specifically? Was it kind of just a process of what you became interested in medical school, or was it something when you were a kid, you lost a relative at too young an age, or?
Do I need therapy? Probably this is my therapy. There was a moment when my grandmother, who helped raise me, she was very brutal. She grew up in World War II, and she just said everything that was truthful. So I, like most kids, I said, oh, Grandma, will you always be around to protect me? And I was about 3.5, 4 years old. And she said, nope, I'm going to die. And then you'll be alone. And I was just like, whoa.
Mortality.
And we all go through that. Yeah. But that, I think, set me in motion. But I've always liked pulling things apart. Machines, cocoons, spiders, that kind of stuff. And I figured, why not figure out the hardest problem that we haven't solved, which I thought was aging.
And you're feeling bullish that you will see the fruits of your labor before you. Do you expect to benefit from the science that you are navigating now when it comes your time to slow down a bit?
Well, I feel like I'm already benefiting. Whenever I get something that's convincing and safe, I apply it. And then my family, who's a bunch of scientists, also applies it. My father's 80 now, and outdoing his peers. So
what about your kids? So are you applying this stuff to your kids' lifestyle? Are they taking it on? Are they like going with their friends and their friends are like, hey, let's grab a Big Mac. And they're like, no way, I'm just going to eat this leaf. You know, why? Because I'm going to live to be 3 million and you're going to die next week. Like, are they?
No, I think they're the opposite. They're like, oh, screw what dad says. I'm going to do the opposite.
So, is that right?
Of course.
We're a very
course.
Normal family. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about, I'm sorry to keep going back to this, but I tell me about your patents or your favorite two out of your 800.
Well, they're mixed. What I do in my lab is I bring together people that have very different views and skills, from computer technicians to, I know, people can read a genome on a little muesli bar type of thing, health bar. So what we do, I have about 20 or so people at Harvard, and we don't work on what's the next thing to discover from where we are. We just sit around saying, what's a really good question to answer? And once you have a good question, then we figure out how to answer it. So one of them, which you might be surprised about, well, actually, probably half of them have nothing to do with aging. One interesting one was we were trying to figure out how to speed the transmission of genetic data across the internet. And we came up with the idea that instead of having binary code, which is zeros and ones, we could use four letters, which is what DNA is based on. So we used what's called base four math. I mean, what happened, it's an interesting story, I'll be very quick. That led to us developing little mini supercomputers in my office on my desk, which eventually moved into my garage, which eventually moved into a company. And then we used that knowledge and better math and algorithms to build what's called a graph, a mathematical graph of the human genome. Then we used that same technology to build a graph of all known pathogens in the world, including now COVID or coronavirus too. And now we can take anyone's blood at this company and take out the human DNA, because we have technology to do that. It's related to CRISPR. Instead of changing genes, we use it as a fishing rod and pull out all the human DNA. What's left behind are the pathogens, the viruses, the fungi, the bacteria. Then we read all that DNA, pump it into our supercomputer, and it says, oh, you have the flu. Don't worry, you don't have COVID-19. And that's actually one of the ones I'm most proud of, because our daughter, Natalie, a middle daughter, she had Lyme disease. And the test for Lyme disease was taking a week, and she was losing her eyesight. And I said, we got to have a better way to do this. So we invented that.
Wow.
Wow. That's
amazing.
This is crazy. That story, I did the same thing.
Huh.
I did the exact, all of
what
that.
You odds?
Forgot to patent
all
that.
Of that stuff, other than the daughter part.
You just didn't take the step to patent it.
But inventing this supercomputer with my buddies and moving it into my garage and leaving just the fungi and all of it. And I'm thinking, nobody's going to relate to this. And then I met David, and it's incredible. Because I can't tell these two idiots. They don't know. But you and I are speaking a language because we're both inventing supercomputers.
So, David, if I go out and I get my blood taken and do all this gene research and stuff like that, can I expect to get basically a prognosis, a menu of, okay, Jason, you are susceptible to dying from heart disease, but not cancer, or leukemia, not Alzheimer's, et cetera, et cetera. So then you can be a little bit more sort of focused on the preventive measures that you might take specifically to those.
Oh, absolutely. Without that, you're flying blind. It's like driving a car without a dashboard. Who would do that?
Right.
So I'm very much driven by data, and a lot of people are scared by what they might learn, but you learn interesting and important things. So one of the things is it's a learning lesson. My kids all have their genome. Actually, I got my grandmother's genome done. She was about 85, and I gave her a tube to spit in. She was thinking, worst present ever. Yeah.
Do you have the receipt?
Yeah, right. Can we give this back? So we do our genome because it does tell us what we should try to avoid. So I've got genes for type 2 diabetes and obesity, so I changed my lifestyle to avoid that. Same with my father. It's actually quite accurate in our experience. My father had genes or a variant of a gene for macular degeneration, and that's starting to show up. So I highly recommend it. Now, we don't know everything, of course, because we're still learning, but it's getting better and better each year as we learn what these variations lead to. And for instance, my wife, her mother has this bowel disease, and my wife learned that she had the same susceptibility genes when she did the test. So she changed her whole life. She left work. She started eating differently. And so those kind of things can really make a difference.
Got it. So in addition to perhaps this
intermittent fasting, exercise, diet. I think you mentioned that there's also some supplements, maybe that's not the right term, that you can take that can augment this, amplify that work. Is that true?
Yeah, it is. I have to be careful because I'm not a doctor, and also I'm at Harvard Medical School that frowns on supplements. They like pharmaceuticals that are proven to work. But there's this middle ground where there are these safe, seemingly safe supplements that probably won't hurt you, that have a chance of helping you in the long run, some of which I take, not a bunch.
And someone who's curious could find these things out by researching you online or reading one of your books or...
How does Jason find out what to take?
I'm trying to get some free medical advice. No one's listening, David. Just whisper it.
So the book that came out a few months ago is called Lifespan. Page 304. Turn to that.
Okay.
And it's the cheat sheet. But try to read the other parts. It's also a little bit interesting.
Jason, a book is, imagine TV, but it's broken into pages.
Like chapters.
Left to right, top to bottom?
Yes. Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I put pictures in the book. So
what?
Oh, this is nice. This
can
is
I color
nice.
Those?
Pop up?
Yeah.
And as far as the genes go, when you suggested we all get our genome tested or revealed, whatever, that we could just ask our own doctors, like they would, and they would have the information on how to do that, or?
Not really. You just go direct to the companies and they send you a kit.
So one of those. Right. That's 23andMe or whatever. 23andMe.
Can I come to the lab, David? I guess that's what we're all getting at. Can we just want to come to the lab? Will you strap me to a table? Take all my blood, strip my gene, whatever it is.
Take my genes off. No, he's talking about a genome.
Genome.
Will.
Genome. I just checked. I had somebody go out and check my genome on the yard. He's Belgian. He's got a little red hat, and he's.
No,
Will.
I think he's Belgian.
My friend Kevin Nealon thought 23andMe was a dating site. Anyway.
Very good.
So, but can we, to Sean's point, like, what is the best course of action? I guess so. It's to get with one of these companies. I think people are worried now because they feel like if they send their DNA into 23andMe, they're gonna, next week their uncle is gonna be found out to be, a mass murderer, which seems to happen a lot.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, I gotta say.
There is that downside. You can ask the companies to keep it totally anonymous. I think that's the best way. That's what I did. But yeah, it's a slight risk. I'm not actually sure if there is a company that deletes the data once it's done. That would be good. But you can come to the lab. The problem is I can't have 10,000 or 100,000 people listening here, maybe more, come to my lab. But if you guys want to come, I can definitely do some tests and we can film that if you want and put you on a little treadmill and see how you do.
Yeah. Ooh, I would love that.
Very special well two-parter. Yeah, we do that around sweeps. Do we have sweeps in podcasting?
Sure. Guys? We'll create it.
What we do now.
Oh, good.
We'll create it.
David, we have taken a lot of your time. I can't thank you enough. I thought we were going to get all the way through without anybody making a jeans joke, and then I did it.
That was too low even for me. That fruit was too low hanging.
I could hear you guys restraining yourselves out of respect. So I apologize for that. But thank you very, very much for joining us and making us a little less unsmart. Today with your stuff.
It is fascinating. I love this. I'm going to check out your book and read more about you.
Yeah, so fascinating. Yeah, and wait, David, what's your book called again?
Lifespan.
Lifespan.
Yeah, Why We Age and Why We Don't Have To.
Lifespan.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I can't even remember the name of the book. I'm such a dummy.
Yeah, well, that's old brain of yours.
I can't wait. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
I need to get there. I can't wait for you to grow me a new brain. It's going to be
great.
Try
being hungry a little bit, Will. Yeah.
For anything.
Yeah.
What's hungry?
David, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. It's been fun.
Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Thanks, David. Good. Cheers.
Bye.
So I could have talked to him for 9 hours.
Isn't it pretty interesting that, you cannot catch any of these diseases that kill you? They're all in us. All of these diseases, they're all in us. And if you behave a certain way,
just wake them up.
You will turn those things on and they will kill you.
You know what disease always gets turned on me is the horn dog disease. That always gets turned on.
So my thing is like, if there's all this information about all this anti-aging stuff that works, how is this not bigger news? Like, how do we make this, you know what I'm saying?
I was going to mention that to him and I thought, well,
I don't want to insult him.
That might be offensive. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, like what are they holding back? Why is this not leading the national news?
I think the problem is that people are so wrapped up, as you know, people are just busy with, there's just other shit going on. And they just go like, yeah, that sounds great. Live forever. Okay, that sounds great. You don't understand. I just got insulted on Twitter.
Right. No, but
those
it's
are
true.
The things that I think get the most attention is like, you know, the beauty product business is like a multi-billion dollar.
Right, but then you look at the existential issues like climate control, and it's like, it's too far out there. If we do something that's really good today, we won't see the benefits for like 30 years. And this is the same with this stuff.
By very definition, is the most existential issue there is mm-hmm. our existence.
Right.
So I will not be.
Will, if you're going to throw up, we can just pause for a second.
I almost barked.
You know, this is the problem with you snacking while we're working.
I know, it's you know, one of those hamster, like the water bottle hamster things. Yeah. He has one for food.
These aren't long sessions. You can go an hour probably without chewing, right?
You know what? Because I need to fuel this chassis. I'm burning so hot.
Maybe widen out your shot a little bit. I know what I'm talking about.
Lord, God help us. You know, all right, guys. Jason, that's disgusting. Will just pulling up his shirt. And
look at that.
Guy, you got to get a job. You're turning a shade of tan that you're going to be on the street one day without.
I work with my shirt off.
I'm pretty sure 18 hours in the sun isn't on Dr. David Sinclair's list of anti-aging.
Yeah, you're good on vitamin D.
The only reason I have 18 hours in the sun is because once it's the summer solstice, I move to the Arctic Circle just to maximize sun. Per day.
I'm so the opposite of you. Todd, my friend Todd, calls me a human bounce card.
You are.
I'm the whitest man
alive.
Do
you not go outside at all? You don't go swimming? You have a beautiful pool. I've swum in your pool many times. You've never been in it anytime I've used your pool.
Twice in maybe 14 years.
Is that true?
Or 20 years.
Jason, are you getting in the pool at all with your kids?
I was in about an hour ago.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in it all the time. I went for another long hike and stuff outside today. I worked out outside in the morning. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? And I just attract sun. And David, you guys got it. He didn't say it right.
Sorry, hang on a second. You attract sun?
I attract the sun. Yeah. So I attract the sun. And so the David said, he didn't say
the sun looks
words.
Down, sees Will and says, oh, let's shoot it over there.
This guy's got more power than me.
Look
at
him.
So David said, and according to David, he didn't even say it, but David said, this guy's living forever. And you guys saw it.
He's got more power than me. That's so disgusting. You're disgusting. You're fucking gross.
Thank you. I don't understand. You're so threatened. You're both so threatened. And
all right.
Sean, you said better than ever. This is the best I've looked.
No, I don't think you
did
say
true.
That.
That is true. You do look.
All right, guys, I love you.
Okay, I love you.
Okay, that was a great Jason.
That was amazing.
What a
I love
great
him.
Thank guest. You.
Great guest.
God, that was so cool. Honestly, are you both not going to be thinking about this? Should we once?
All the time.
Can we please go to Harvard, the three of us, and let him move?
Wait, I'm not kidding. I want to go. I want to go.
I'm in.
That would be nice.
I'll do it.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys have gone to, where'd you go, Bucharest together?
Istanbul.
Bucharest.
Bucharest in Romania. Yeah, we went to
Bucharest. Next door, Budapest or Istanbul.
And then we've also been to Venice. Italy.
Right.
Venice,
so we can make it to Boston.
We can make it to Boston. Yeah, I'll fucking go there.
To Boston. Yeah, I'll go to fucking Boston.
Very special two-parter at the end of the season. We're going to do it for sweeps. We already agreed, right?
I'll fucking go there. I know matter of fact, I know a kid. His fucking mother used to work with me down in Dedham. But,
he's doing his accents. This means we got to stop. He's turning his accents.
Should we stop? Let's stop. Okay,
bye.
Bye. God, it's the worst. I love how much Peyton when he said that.
Smart.
Smartless is published and distributed with Simplecast.